they discovered it was actually another 830 million earlier this week, so or late last week. So you can't sort of do silly investments in places where you shouldn't be and then not even properly tell the market or comprehend the scale of your losses. So I think once the second announcement happened, then John Stewart's time was clearly over.
Certainly the market reacted with a vengeance. The shares share price for the bank's biggest one-day fall since the October 1987 share market crash, losing 13.5% on Friday, down about $4.14. No chief executive likes to preside over something like that. But there certainly was, as you say, a large amount of criticism directed pretty much at the executives, John Stewart included, people suggesting that its disclosure practices left a little to be desired. As you say, earlier on, they'd revealed a limited degree of exposure, and then lo and behold, it turns out to be $1 billion worth.
Well, that's right. And the other thing was that just in the days leading up to the second announcement, they did their dividend reinvestment plan, they did an $800 million bond issue, so they were out there in the market raising debt and equity. And then, lo and behold, they come out and say, actually, here's a massive loss. And you're right, the shares fell, or the value of the bank fell $7 billion with that 13% fall last week. So when you get a situation where you announce an additional loss of $830 million and the value of the whole bank falls by $7 billion, that's called a loss of investor confidence, because if it was a totally rational response, the value of the bank would have fallen by $830 million as well. So that was a massive vote of no confidence. And when the investors who own the bank have lost confidence in the information you've been telling them, well, your time is done. So John Stewart came to Australia after the foreign exchange scandal in 2004. His contract initially was a two-year contract, which specified at the end of it that he had a one-way first-class flight back to London. So he was telling everyone that he was only here for 2 years and he was having a one-way flight back. So the bank extended him to 4 years, but they'll now be activating that one-way first-class flight back to London, which is part of his contract.
NAB, for its part, has defended its disclosure practices in the recent weeks, but the suggestion is that it's been pretty much forced to this by the threat from Standard & Poor's. It suggested that it might have slugged the bank with a negative outlook to its AA credit rating. That might explain their actions more than anything else. Certainly, bank analyst Brian Johnson of JP Morgan famously said, "Why should we believe anything you say?" When that news was broken. So that goes to the credibility and what the market will perhaps believe from the bank in the future under the current regime.
Well, that's right. The current global credit crisis is all about massive losses and banks coming clean with it, being honest and winning the faith of their investors that they've got the situation under control and that they know what on earth is going on. And this was the worst example we've seen in Australia of a bank not comprehending its own losses. And banking's a confidence business. I mean, people have got to trust a major financial institution. And this was a basic systemic failure, which was very different to the extra losses announced by ANZ on Monday this week. ANZ was just doing general increases in Australian and New Zealand bad debts from regular banking practices. And the market accepted that the economy is deteriorating and they're being more prudent, whereas NAB was just a straight loss of $1 billion playing in a sandpit they shouldn't have been in. And that was why it was clearly different, and that was why John Stewart instantly became Australia's most sackable CEO, and he's out the door less than a week later.
The chairman of NAB, Michael Chaney, says Cameron Klein of the New Zealand operation will succeed Mr. Stewart from the 1st of January 2009. He'll become Group CEO designate from the 1st of October to ensure an orderly handover from John Stewart. How do you think the market will react to this news?
Well, Mr. Klein's a bit of an unknown character. He's only 40. He's the youngest big bank CEO in Australian history. Normally, you're in your late 50s when you land such a responsibility. So he hasn't been mentioned as a potential successor particularly regularly of late. So I think he's sort of come from nowhere, and it's a bit like Alan Joyce getting the job at Qantas. They've gone for a young sort of outsider who's only been with the National Australia Bank for a handful of years. He grew up and was a Pricewaterhouse partner and was the youngest partner at the big accounting firm. So I think the shares will probably go up today because the market will want to reward the fact that we're seeing some accountability, that we've seen a CEO stuff up, we've seen a loss of confidence, and we've seen a board move decisively to bring in a relative newcomer and relative outsider. But I think the idea of a 40-year-old who's currently running the bank in New Zealand, it is a bit of a brave choice by the bank, but at least he won't be starting until I think it's early next year. So he's got a period to get his his feet under the desk.
And hopefully some of the dust might have settled by then. Stephen, thanks for that rapid reaction.
Thanks, Glenn.
Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist and long-time watcher of the National Australia Bank.